Andrew Solomon, who has written The Noonday Demon, is with us here on the Paula Gordon Show, as is Bill Russell. Bill had just asked you about these quite different cultures into which you went. Why'd you do that?
I wanted to show people that depression is really very universal, that the particular ways that we deal with depression may be culturally determined and specific, but that the depression itself exists absolutely everywhere. And so I wanted to go into a broad range of everywheres.
Well, boy, it sure was different everywheres, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
How would you, and I don't know that you can do that in a thumbnail, but Cambodia to Africa to the Inuit Eskimos, that's a lot of different slices. Again, comparing it to a middle-class American who lives in New York.
Well, I'll tell you something that happened actually after I'd finished writing the book. I had met someone who was from Rwanda and was talking to me about American aid workers who came to Rwanda after the atrocities there. And he had read in my book the description of the African ritual that I'd gone through, which I won't go through again right here in great detail, except to say that the high point of it came when I was lying in a makeshift wedding bed in the central square of a small African village with 300 people dancing around me in concentric rings, and was then yanked out of the bed, and my clothes were removed, and a ram was slaughtered, and I was covered in the blood of the freshly slaughtered ram. And it was quite a far cry from any therapies I'd gone through before. And so I was talking to this guy from Rwanda, and he said, well, you know, we have some things that we do in Rwanda which are not exactly the same as that, but there are some points of similarity. And then he said, you know, we had these American aid workers, and they were doing this terrible thing. And I said, what was it? And he said, well, they came in, and they were doing something. There was no music, which is, of course, what always pulls people out of their depression. There was no sunlight, which is the other thing that's really great. There was no community involvement or support the way that we would have in a ritual we use. Said these doctors would take people one at a time into kind of small rooms and have them sit there for an hour and talk about terrible things that had happened to them. So it was the most bizarre thing, and we just had to put a stop to it. And of course, what he was describing was the absurdity of Western-style psychotherapy. And yeah, part of what I wanted to say in this book is that a lot of one's recovery from depression is predicated on belief. And we have certain beliefs for which there are long, complicated, tangled historical reasons, and they're different from beliefs that exist elsewhere.
And there are lots of ways to attack this beast.
Absolutely. That depression is responsive to a broad range of things. I started off working on this book as a real medical conservative, and I thought, there's medication, and there are a few kinds of talking therapy, and that's what works, and people shouldn't try all of this garbage. And then as I went along, I kept meeting people who said, you know, I found that I took up knitting little things from yarn, and that if I did that for 4 hours every morning, it made me feel better. And I thought, you know what? If you feel well now and you're getting some knitting done, then that's fantastic. And I'm delighted to hear that it worked. And I defer to the successes people have had with other modes of treatment.
Well, and even the scientific approach is the strictly chemical based. We still are struggling for rationalizations for why these chemicals work. We have theories, but as best I can tell from your reporting, we still really don't know why something works or why it doesn't work. And even more importantly, I guess, why it works for a while and then doesn't work on the same person.
Yes.
gotcha, Bill.
You're right. I mean, part of what's shocking, I think, is that because we know so much more than we used to, people think we know most of what there is to know. Our understanding of depression is very primitive. We don't really know what's gone wrong. We have no idea why it's gone wrong. We don't know what the vulnerabilities were that made it possible for it to go wrong before it went wrong. And we certainly don't know, given that we don't know any of those things, what we really need to do to make it all right. We're still using sledgehammers in our attempts to repair very tiny, delicate troubles and problems. They're much better than the gigantic bulldozers we were using a while ago, but they're still sledgehammers.
This does argue for humility as we think about and talk about these areas.
Absolutely. On the other hand, it's comforting sometimes to patients to think that the doctors know a lot. And so there are doctors who feel that if they can say, we're just going to readjust your serotonin levels and you'll feel better, The patient then thinks, oh, there was something wrong with my serotonin levels, and now we're fixing them, and I'll feel better. And that belief, as much as the belief in the slaughtering of the rams, is extremely powerful.
You do say believing in something helps, and it really doesn't much matter what it is. One of the things I believed in as I read the book, I found it very interesting that your last chapter you titled Hope. And when I would get to the parts that I found dreary, I would think, well, he's going to give me a final chapter that is hope. You can give me a final 30 seconds. There is hope in this, isn't there?
Absolutely. In the first place, I think we've made enormous progress. Depression is so much more treatable than it was 5 years ago even, certainly than it was 10 or 30 or 50 or 100 years ago. And I think that we're continuing to make steady progress. So I think that's very encouraging. And I think that there are an enormous number of stories of strength and heroism out there and of different ways that people have managed to get through depression. And when you're in a depression, one of the symptoms of it is that you think, this is intolerable, I can never get through this, my life is over, there's no point going on, I'm just going to stop here and now. And one of the things I think it's terribly important for depressed people to know is lots of people have felt that way and then have managed to find something worthwhile and meaningful on the other side.
And they should look.
Yes.
Andrew Solomon, this has just been wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's been a fantastic interview. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it.
Andrew Solomon's book, The Noonday Demon, An Atlas of Depression, is remarkable. We thank him for his courage and work shedding light on this dark and painful subject. We particularly thank him for replacing hopelessness with hope for people who suffer from this painful condition. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.